So many of you guys know my mom. She is Grandma D, as she is affectionately called. And she loves to come to Oklahoma. And because most Californians do, they love to come to Oklahoma. And when she comes to Oklahoma, my kids know that we are going to one restaurant for sure when she's here. Who, anybody know what restaurant that might be? Debbie? Cracker Barrel. We go to Cracker Barrel every time my mom comes to town. This is a ritual that we've done. We have many pictures in the same little patch of grass out in front of the Cracker Barrel in Joplin. And we've been to Cracker Barrel in Tulsa with her. We've been in probably Springfield, other places, but we have to find Cracker Barrel when she's here because they don't have them where she lives, and she loves it, and we love it too. But here's the reason the kids love it, because every time Grandma D promises she's going to buy them a toy. And so she gets them a toy at Cracker Barrel. And you know the toys there are great. They're like classic toys, all kinds of fun things. But here's another tradition we have is that by the time we get home with said toys from Cracker Barrel, they are broken. They are not lasting toys. But every single toy we've bought there has broken within 24 hours of the purchase. And there's even been times we've taken them back and gone, hey, this busted, and they give us a new one. And guess what happens to the new one? It breaks also. And once a toy is broken, it's not really good for much else, is it? Unless you're going to be real creative and come up with some way to adapt it to another toy, whether it's like a toy gun, you put it on top of a car or something like that, you know. But beyond that, there's not really a lot of use for it. And so it gets kind of wasted. And I started thinking about this because when things get broken in general, their use just disappears. The enjoyment that they used to bring us diminishes or it's gone completely. It's not fun anymore to play with a broken toy, right? And recently I've been feeling just the weight of brokenness in my own life and in the lives of those that I love and I care for. And so I just thought about that. Man, what about when we're broken, when things are broken in our lives, what do we do? Because the temptation is to say, oh, it's all wasted. It's not worth it, right? Or that season is over and we just give up. But I think there's more to it than that. I think there's more for us to do in the season of brokenness and how to face brokenness that is in a way that God is honored by. And so today we're going to look at what to do when things are broken and how God expresses his love to us by offering us a way out of that brokenness and a way of restoration and repair and healing. So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's super exciting, and I hope that you gain something from it. So let me pray, and then we'll dive right in. Lord, thank you for this moment and this time that we can talk about our brokenness. Lord, we can come to this place openly and honestly, and maybe not in words, but Lord, in the sense of our spirit. Lord, we can come here and say, yeah, I'm broken. I have something wrong in me. And I pray that today we would experience new life, or that we would receive that gift of salvation, that gift of repair and healed relationships. God, may we receive that today and become new. And for those that are here that are dealing with heavy stuff that nobody knows about, God, I pray that you would just reach into their lives and move in them and restore them, because that's what you love to do. That's what you tell us that you're all about. And so, God, would you be honored in this place today? Would you speak to us? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wish that I could say that there are some people who are just bad at life and some people who are good at life. And that, you know, things just go great for some people and things just go terrible for others. And, you know, it's probably people that you think of that you go, oh, everything works out for them. They're just really lucky like that. And I would bet if you were to sit down and have a conversation with them, they would point you to say that that is not exactly the case, that that's not the case. If there were people who are good at life and people who are bad at life, I think we would all wish to say we are good at life. We would desire that for us. But I know that trouble comes to everybody. Sometimes it's self-induced. Sometimes my poor decisions is what brings on the trouble in my life. But sometimes it just happens to me, right? We're in either side of that spectrum at all times in our life. And sometimes we just don't get it right. We get selfish, we get lonely, we get tired, and we just stop caring. And all of these things lead us to live in our old nature. And the Bible calls this sin. This sin is a problem in our lives. And it's something that we can tend to revert back to. Even after we come to a relationship with Jesus, there's a way that we can revert back to our sin. And I've heard people define sin as missing the mark of God's perfect will. That's a really big definition. That's a really narrow target to shoot for. And I think that's true, but I also think we can expand it to say that sin is anything that disrupts the peace of God in the world, or the shalom of God, which is this Hebrew term that means everything is made right. Everything is at peace with the way it should be. So anything we do that disrupts what God desires in the world is sin. And it can be in relationships, it's in the environment, it's in justice for others, and all kinds of things. And none of us are exempt from the struggle with sin. Romans 3 says it like this. It says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And this is where brokenness sets in. It's in our sin that we find ourselves looking out for only me. I look out for my comfort, my desires, when I'm focused on sin and when I'm driven by my sin. It's when we sin that things just don't go well for us, right? Things just get messed up. Sometimes if you find yourself in a bad situation and you go, how did I get here? I would bet that somewhere along the way, there has been selfishness. There has been sin that has taken over, something that's disrupted the peace in the world. And truthfully, it's sin that damages our relationship with God. It keeps us from experiencing his love and his grace in our lives. It's not that he withholds it from us, but it's that in our sin, we run away from it. We get away from it. But God cares far too much to leave us there. He cares way too much about us to leave us in this distant place. And he knew that this would be humanity's struggle in life. He knew that that would be our deal. And so he had a plan, right? Continue on in Romans 3 in verse 24, it said, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. And so in response to our struggle, God gave us Jesus to take care of our sin, to open the door to that relationship. All we do is believe that Jesus took our place. That's it. We say, yes, yes, I'm in. And when we say, yes, I'm in, yes, I agree, we are stepping into a way of life. We are stepping into a relationship, a contract, some might say, to where we have this responsibility to the other party. I say, yes, I believe, and that means something for how I live my life. And you know what happens when we do that, when we realize that Jesus took the place of everyone around us, is that we look around and we realize that we're all deeply in need of saving and that we all need grace, right? When I see that my sin and my mess has caused trouble for me, but I recognize that Jesus sacrificed his life for me, and I say, yes, I believe that, I receive that, then I can start to look around and go, but these people that drive me crazy, these people that I have such a hard time with, they are just as in need as I am. And that begins to change the way I view them. I realize that I'm no better, because that's sometimes the issue, is that we set ourselves up as better than another. I realize I'm no better. And these people deeply need Jesus the same way that I deeply need Jesus. We're all level. We're all equally huge messes, right? And so we deeply need Jesus. And so Jesus' sacrifice is not just about my personal salvation and me getting right with God. It's actually about the world being the object of God's love. Have you thought about it this way before? Has it been presented to you in this way before? Sometimes we present the gospel and we say that God loves you so much. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. And you can receive salvation by saying yes to him, by receiving him in your heart. And it's very much a me and my personal eternal destination, and that's kind of the talk. But what I see here is that in God sending Jesus, it shows, it demonstrates that his love is for the entire world. We are all the object of his love. People who would never even walk in this door because they had a bad experience with church, because they don't even believe in God, because God did something or God didn't do something in their life, and all of a sudden they have no desire for him, that same person is the object of his affection. And that changes how we view them. If I experience the grace of God through Jesus, how could I not look at my neighbor with love and compassion? How could I actually still have hate in my heart for someone around me when I've been forgiven of so much? Jesus levels the playing field. And that's the doorway of the whole thing. That's the start of the whole relationship. So with this brokenness that we experience and we struggle with, all of a sudden we say yes to Jesus. We say, I believe that you are the sacrifice for me. Then that's the very beginning. And then the whole world opens up. As we believe in his sacrifice, then this process begins. This process of transformation begins. But sometimes it can be frustrating because even after I say yes to Jesus, I'm prone to struggle with sin. I still don't get it right. There are times that I do great and I stay away from bad things, but other times that I really want to pick it back up again. I want to go back to the bad things. And what we have to understand is that belief in Jesus is the entry point for the journey. We're right with God, but then he graciously takes us down a road of transformation. There's a moment where we say yes and things begin to change, but then we have a lifetime of maturity and transformation that takes place. And during the process, we have every right to get off the path. He doesn't hold us to it. We have every opportunity to make a decision to go the other direction, away from God. And guess what we're stepping toward when we step away from him? We're stepping toward brokenness. We're stepping toward sin. And those decisions that we make when we step away from God lead to just more and more brokenness within us. And people do it all the time. I've done it plenty of times. We start walking with the Lord and it gets too hard sometimes. Or we go, oh, if only I could just hang out with these old friends one time. Or these memories come up of things you used to do in the past that might have seemed fun but led to brokenness. And you just kind of go, oh, I just want to go back. This is too hard. Or you get those cravings for that old way of life, those old addictions. And you go, this is too hard. I can't keep going. And you just give up. But the thing is that God waits patiently for us to join him again. He sits there waiting for us. And so as we step off the path and we do our thing, we can turn and see he's there. He's there. He hasn't taken off on us. He hasn't abandoned us. We're the ones who walk away from him. But the problem with us stepping off this path, even for a moment, is that during this time, sin grows. And it starts to crowd out the good that was there, right? It starts to crowd out some of those really good things that were growing within us. And it makes it to where your progress is stopped or it's stalled or it pulls back and you make less progress than you were before. Because we trust that as we follow the Lord, that life gets better, right? As we engage in a relationship with Jesus, life gets better and we get better at life. And if we step away from that, then those things that lead to brokenness and destruction start to crowd out those things that we were better at in life. That's our struggle, right? Have you been in that struggle? Am I describing you and your journey? Because there are so many times that we step off the path and it starts to crowd out that good and it's so hard to get back up again. It's so hard to say, oh, I've gone this far. It's like a diet. I started a new diet this week and promptly ended a new diet this week. Have you guys ever done that before? It was great. It was miserable, but it was great. But, you know, you start to think, I can do this. I can do this. I can do it so much better. And then you walk by the cookies and go, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not getting that processed junk, right? And then you eat one. And then pretty soon you've had a snacksident where you've eaten the entire thing of Oreos, right? Or you go like, you're like, well, if I'm going in, I'm going big, right? Go big or go home. That's my motto. And we do that. And it's funny with our diet because we've all done it. But it's true for all of life. In my brokenness, if I go, man, I slipped up, it's so tempting to be like, well, forget it. Go big or go home. I'm going to go to the easy thing that's just living naturally, not caring for anybody else, but being self-centered and thinking about myself, getting what I want and what I need in whatever way I can. And we just go that way, and it's so hard to turn back around. But what we discover if we turn around is that God is there waiting for us. God is there waiting for us. And there is a journey that he took us on that we agreed to step into. And he hasn't moved forward and left us in the dust. He's waited because he believes that you are still worth waiting for. He believes that you are worth taking the rest of the journey with. But as we stay off the path, it's harder to hear God's voice. It's harder to discern what our sin wants us to do and what God wants us to do. And then in the midst of all that, we find ourselves just broken again. But it's not a unique pattern. This is not something that's unique to modern civilization. It's the same story we see all through the Old Testament. Israel would be blessed by God. They would be obedient to God. Then they would be disobedient to God. They would get punished. And then they would say, "We are so, so sorry." And he would fix it. And he would restore them. And then it would go on and on again, that same pattern. This is humanity's merry-go-round. And it's exhausting, right? It is exhausting because we know every time we give in and experience that brokenness, it wears us down even more. And I think it's time we get off that merry-go-round, right? It's time for me to get off the merry-go-round. And so there is something that needs to change in us. But the beauty of it all is that God's love for us has never faded, ever. Even when we made our choices to go our own way, even when we allow brokenness to sit and make its home within us, God's love never fades. The same love that brought you to your knees years ago when you first heard about Jesus, or when you heard about Jesus for the 1,000th time and you finally gave in, that same love is the same love that he offers you today. The same love we talk about in Adventure Kids or in Little Friends, where there's this understanding of God loves me just because he made me, right? Not based on what I've done or what I'm going to do or who I'm going to become. God loves me because God loves me. That same truth is true for us as adults. For us, when we're weathered and we've gone down the wrong path and we're miles in the wrong direction, that same love is the same love he offers to us. And the fact that we can make our choices, good or bad, and still be received by him is an absolute gift. It's a gift that he gives to us. That I can make the choice to honor him or to dishonor him, and he still loves me. That's a gift. And I used to think that those two decisions, the choice to honor him or to dishonor him, was about my eternal destination, right? I used to be terrified as a kid, going, "Man, I think I did too many wrong things. I think I'm going to hell." And that was terrifying to me. And that was my motivation to want to do the right thing. I wanted everybody to like me because I thought I had to do that so I could get to heaven. That's kind of scary as a kid, right? A teenager, grown man, whatever the case may be. That's a scary thought. But what I've come to know and experience is that sin isn't just about this someday far off when I fly away kind of thing. Sin actually leads to brokenness now. It makes things worse. So when God says, "These are the things you probably shouldn't do. This is the way you are to live because you're my children," he's not saying, "If you don't do this, you're going to get hammered." He's saying, like a good parent would, he's saying, "If you do these things, it's not going to go well for you. Just look at the experience of those around you. If you engage in sin, if our life is centered around us and our joy and our pleasure and our experience, then guess what that does? It has the potential to damage life beyond repair. It has the potential to ruin and completely wreck our relationships. It has the potential to totally wreck our homes and our jobs and our families and our community. When I am focused on me, brokenness sets in. And it's not just about my destination years from now at the end of my life. It's about what I experience today and what the people around me experience. Sin is terrible because it messes everything up. And so this fact that I get a choice to honor God or to dishonor him and go my own way and live in an absolute wreck, That is grace from him to not force me to one way or another. Because nothing would be worse than forcing somebody to love you and care for you, right? Because it's not genuine, it's not real. And on the other side of that, we experience true freedom and joy when we've chosen to love him. And so what do we do with all this information? How do we respond? Well, first, we need to recognize our sin. We need to call it what it is. If there's brokenness in our lives, it's most likely caused by sin. And so take a look at your life. What are the broken things there? Call it what it is. If it's sin, then deal with it. The second thing we need is we need to repent of our sin. To repent means to turn 180 degrees, to turn the opposite direction. And it's not just a casual turning. It's actually the sense behind the word is urgent. It's sprinting the other direction. It's not getting as close to the line as we can. It's saying, this is an absolute mess in my life. These decisions I've been making, these patterns I've had are so destructive for me, I can't even get close to it. I've got to go the other direction as fast as I can. So we recognize our sin and we have to repent of our sin. And we cry out to God, trusting in Jesus, his sacrifice for our life. We say, Lord, this is not right. These are the things that I'm bringing brokenness in my life because of these things. Forgive me of this. And he's faithful to forgive us. And the third thing we need to do is continue on the journey with God. Rather than going our own way and stepping off the path and doing our own thing, we need to surrender our lives and our decisions to him. When we come to a crossroads of making a decision, we need to say, Lord, what would you have me do here? What would be the right thing to do? What would be the decision that would lead to life, that would honor you, not the decision that would lead to destruction and brokenness? Because I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want that to be the way that my life is guided. So we recognize our sin. We call it what it is. We repent of our sin. We ask for forgiveness. And we receive that forgiveness. And we sprint the opposite direction. And then we continue on this journey with God. And you know that any journey towards maturity leads to success and failure, right? It's just riddled with it. It's all along the path. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. If you've raised kids, you know that's the case, right? And hopefully they're functioning adults with you now. And so you can go, boy, we made it. But you know it was a struggle along the way. The road to maturity is filled with good decisions and bad decisions. And so we need to understand as we engage in this journey, we go down this journey with the Lord, that there are going to be times that we mess up and we choose sin again. And so this cycle right here of recognizing our sin and repenting of our sin and continuing on the journey is something we may have to do over and over again. It's something that we're going to have to remember because that's our pattern. But thank you, Lord, there is a way to get back on the path. There is an open door to get back and get away from that brokenness, even though the fallout might take a little while to walk through. Even though the pieces might be broken for a long time, we may never be whole again. We can get back on the path and work towards that transformation of what God created us to be. And so my desire is that we would experience the grace of God to overcome our brokenness, that we might be able to experience the life that he created for us. And it all begins in humility, knowing that I don't have it together. And so today, as we go into our quiet time, I want you to really ask yourself, where am I at with this? And if you need to ask forgiveness of the Lord, today is a great day to do that. And you say, Lord, would you forgive me? I have brokenness in me. There's sin in me, and I need it to be gone. And I know the way for it to be gone is to say yes to you. And if you have someone you love and trust that you can come alongside with and say, I need help understanding this, I want you to find those people today and walk through it and begin that process. And if you're already on the path, but you're struggling, then today during our quiet time, really think about that and pray about that and say, Lord, I've strayed. I've gone the wrong way. Would you heal me? Would you restore that brokenness in me? And then we need to trust him that he's going to do that, that he's faithful to do that, because that's what he wants for us. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into our quiet time now. And you can share if you feel led to share. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this moment that we can talk about brokenness, that we can confess that we don't have it all together. Lord, that there are times that we have really gotten it wrong. But Lord, thank you for being so faithful to us and allowing us to mess up and make choices, Lord, but always accepting us back. And Lord, we know this is not a license to sin, because we know that sin just wrecks everything. Lord, we want what's best, because that's what you desire for us. So God, would you just reveal your truth to us today? Would you reveal to us what it means to follow you? God, would you shape us to be more and more like you? And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, if you feel led to share, please stand and we'll bring you the mic.